Listeners, please welcome a real finance nerd from our sponsor, NerdWallet. Hey, Sean.
Hey, Rich. Thanks for having me.
We all know NerdWallet for their credit card comparisons, but there's more to it than that, right?
So much more. Even for credit cards, it's not the basic this card versus that card. With us, you can filter for features you want, add your top cards to a comparison table, and get access to exclusive offers.
Smarter tools, smarter financial decisions.
Exactly. Beyond credit cards, we research and review thousands of other financial products, from high-yield savings accounts to mortgage lenders, so you can find the smartest products.
Hear that, world? NerdWallet is not just credit cards.
Thanks for that important PSA, Rich.
And where exactly should people go to compare and find these credit cards and savings account and mortgage rates and more?
NerdWallet.com/learn more.
Thanks again to NerdWallet, our paid sponsor of this segment. NerdWallet, finance smarter.
Hey, that's my line. Finance smarter, y'all. NerdWallet Compare Inc., NMLS 1617539.
This is the Rich Eisen Show.
It's battle time.
The Rich Eisen Show.
Touchdown, Derrick Henry!
Live from the Rich Eisen Show studio in Los Angeles.
What's at stake with the Ravens and Cowboys playing each other?
A lot, I would say. I think the Ravens are going to be okay.
Rashad Bateman wide open.
The Cowboys are massively interesting now because, like, we've seen one really impressive week and we've seen one really awful week.
Today's guests, Prime Video Thursday Night Football analyst Andrew Whitworth, plus your phone calls, complete Week 3 recap, and much more. And now, it's Rich Eisen.
Hour number two of the Rich Eisen Show is on the air. My gosh, is there so much to talk about from week number three of this National Football League. Lots of college football to discuss. And we will do so in this hour. And with you at 844-204-RICH, number to dial, our friend Andrew Whitworth from Prime Video will be joining us. There's two quarterbacks who he protected in this league that he will be discussing later on. Andy Dalton and Matthew Stafford, two quarterbacks who got wins for their teams for the first time in 2024. I mean, yesterday, I got to tell you, you got to wonder if the Raiders personally ended survivor pools for most of America in the first 3 weeks of this season because they came back and beat the Ravens.
Right.
I mean, shocked the Ravens by coming back in Baltimore. I mean, the Ravens have a double-digit lead at home after damn near beating the defending champs, having an extra week, you know, weekend of rest. They got a mini bye. You know, Isaiah likely went out and bought smaller shoes for the occasion.
At white ones.
Or possibly.
Yep.
And they're up. They're up at home. They're not going to go to 0-2, right? And the Raiders are like, we're going to go all the way across the country, early window, West Coast team at a 1 o'clock Eastern, and we're going to go beat them. A more rested team after they went and got swapped paint with the Chargers in week one. They're going to hop a flight all the way east and beat the Ravens and then turn around, come home, and get boat raced by the Carolina Panthers and Andy Dalton. How does that happen?
I have no idea.
And talk about flipped narratives. Talk about flipped narratives. But the Panthers, supposed to be the worst organization in the NFL. Not just the worst organization in the NFL, but maybe in the history of organizations. And when I say organization, anything, sports, trade unions, name it. I mean, honestly, name an organization. I don't know. Parent teacher.
Right? PTA.
They're supposed to be the worst ever. And we were sitting here wondering, you know, how they handled Bryce Young, complete, utter malpractice. I got sent to me, because, again, I don't see it live because I'm competing with them. I saw my friends and colleagues at ESPN went all the way in on the Panthers, absolutely all the way in on them, about wouldn't want to play for them, wouldn't want to coach for them, wouldn't want to, like, what they've done is the worst, you know. Fox, Jimmy Johnson went all in on the Panthers, and Daniel Jeremiah, who I adore, I trust him and his eye and evaluation eye more than anybody else. He said it looks like the worst roster in the league. when he saw him last week against the Chargers, he saw him all four quarters. Turned out to be Bryce Young's last start. And you got to wonder when his next one's going to be. Because Andy Dalton showed looks like it's operator error.
Mm-hmm.
Deontay Johnson.
He's back.
Holy cow.
He's back.
Where was that guy? And Adam Thielen made an incredible grab. That's what happens when belief, hope brings about belief, and suddenly plays get made and defense buzzes around. Can't make it up. The Panthers weren't just 0-2. They were a hard 0-2. They were not even close to putting another number in that win column. They were staring. I've never seen a team where you could truly believe 0-2 could become 0-17, staring it right in the face.
Absolutely. Kind of,
and then,
minus 60 something point differential?
It was gross.
And then Andy Dalton becomes the first quarterback with a 300 yard game and three touchdowns or more in the league this year. First one. It's a guy with a clipboard and an earbud and trying to coach up Bryce Young. Unbelievable. Can't make it up, man. Do we have sound from Mr. Dalton? This is it. The red rifle, everybody. Getting it done. And now Carolina is 1-2, a game out of first. What?
I mean, it felt great. Obviously, for me to get an opportunity to be out there and for it to go the way it did, it's going to have drawn it up any better. I get a chance to just be me and play and to be out there how I normally am. I'm normally pretty calm. I'm normally relaxed. Guys were having fun. I was trying to make sure the guys were having fun because you put in a ton of work for this thing. And for you to get out there, it's like now you get a time to just go and enjoy the work that you put in. And it makes it nice when the day goes like it did today. And they're not all going to go like this, but when they do, you got to enjoy that.
You know what? You can't make up now. You know the next two games are against Cincinnati and Chicago.
Oh, come on, really?
Yeah. Carolina's next two games.
That's unbelievable.
Against the team that birthed him. And one of the many teams he's played for, hoping that he could turn a season around, and there you have it.
By the way, he's going to win both of those games.
Home against Atlanta. Let's go.
Dalton's about to go on a run.
Let me tell you something. Saints week 9, they play Dallas too. He's going on a tour. And let me just say this to you, that week 10 game in Germany, Carolina and Giants in Germany on NFL Network. Andy, all of us at NFL Network feel like the Bills fans back in the day. We're going to raise money for your charity. If you make that game something people want to watch. I'm straight up. I'm just going to tell everybody straight up right now. The Giants won too. Oh, that Munich game, I mean, it was like the Undertaker. And it comes straight up off the turf a little bit. But in all seriousness, that's why you watch sports, because you don't know what's going to happen. Now, of course, the Raiders don't want to be the Washington Generals of this Globetrotter equation. I don't know what happened right there. Honestly, what week one, they're butting heads with the Chargers and showing some serious mettle that they then cashed in with a win that nobody saw coming. And then they were a speed bump. And Aiden O'Connell finished the game.
Yeah.
We saw our first glimpse of any time, and I feel for this guy, anytime he's on the sideline, sitting on the bench and looking miserable, which may just be his resting face. I don't know. Davante Adams, we just assume he wants out. That's it. We're just hoping some microphone's picking up something, because he's got to be sitting there going, what's happened here? Antonio Pierce is taking notes, mental notes. This is an interesting soundbite post game.
Yeah. No, they didn't. I think as the game went on, I don't think it was a team. It was. I think there was definitely some individuals that made business decisions, and will make business decisions going forward as well.
Now, for those who might need a crash course on what business decisions mean, what is somebody says somebody's making a business decision? What does that mean? That means they're turning down contact.
Yep.
They're turning down hard play because they're making a business decision, meaning for me to continue making money and for me to keep cashing my check, I need to stay healthy, and I'm not putting my body on the line for something that's potentially a lost cause. That's the insinuation of a business decision. Deion Sanders taught me that, that phrase. He also talked about how when running backs who wanted a new contract ran really well, he said they were running with light pockets. And when somebody's not trying to tackle Derrick Henry, they're making a business decision. I'm not getting in front of that. I wonder who those business decision choosers, who may soon be beggars for playing time, are going to be. Keep an eye on that for the Raiders. Again, it's just 1-2. Next up for them is Cleveland at home. Man. That's a team that just, they've looked terrible at home twice to NFC East teams. Terrible. And you've got to sit here and wonder, what are they going to do if Deshaun Watson isn't good anymore? And is that the reason why? For sure. I mean, the Browns have got that problem with Deshaun Watson, and you cannot deny it. He doesn't look like the guy from the Texans with consistency anymore. They got a huge break where the Giants coughed up. Like, who returns an opening kickoff anymore in the NFL? And the Giants do it and cough it up, and one play later, it's Amari Cooper in the end zone, and they seem to be dining off that long enough until the Giants got their sea legs under them and scored. And scored. The Browns defense, vaunted defense, got their first takeaway of the season in this game. Amari Cooper did score twice. I understand Nick Chubb's hurt. I know Njoku's out. I get it, but there's injuries everywhere. Just look at the Niners and the Rams, who we'll talk about shortly. Hey, Browns, that's the problem. Is his contract, you can't get out of it until, I believe, let me look it up. I wrote it down here. Here it is. The end of time. The end of time. That's how long his contract runs.
That's long.
To pay him off.
A long time.
And you got to sit here and wonder, do you turn to the W eater or what? Do you do that? Because if you do that,
we got to have a conversation.
What do you do?
I think we got to have a conversation about it.
Joe Flacco showed how the offense can be run by somebody who's almost a decade removed from his ARP card. I mean, straight up. He showed you how to run it without Nick Chubb, I might add. But with Njoku, who hopefully they can get back soon enough. The Cleveland's at Washington and at Philadelphia. They got three in a row on the road, and maybe that's good for them because they sure aren't playing well in front of the dog pound. At Vegas, at Washington,
those
at
games
Philly.
They should compete in and have real good chances to win.
Well, they've competed in their last two games. It was non-compete week one. It looked like they, you know, it's just that when another team scores two touchdowns, you feel like they're down five touchdowns.
Yeah.
Because offensively, it's just, it's brutal looking. And that's not the Houston Texan that you traded your entire organization for. Mm-hmm. Let's talk about another team that got their first win. Because the Giants did. The Rams did.
Whose house?
Let me tell you, man. Let me tell you something, man.
I'll tell you what, man.
It's great watching high-end quarterback play from somebody playing it at the highest level. I know that sounds ridiculous. But watching somebody who can play quarterback at the highest level do it when they don't have, apparently, the weapons that they are used to having because of injury. and we saw both do it. I'm putting Purdy in this category because he was awesome yesterday. He was terrific yesterday. But Matthew Stafford has been doing it for well over a decade. And I know we're paying attention to it more now that he's out here in market number two and he's got a ring on his finger. He plays for the Los Angeles Rams and the 49ers are defending NFC champs. And when the Niners and the Rams and Shanahan and McVay are dialing up plays against each other's defenses, it's just fun to watch. And this photograph we're seeing of Tutu Atwell catch a ball, I don't know if it's the one that, you know, it's the one that he caught here. He threw one as well.
Yeah.
So McVay was deep in his bag, but you're also seeing in this photograph the sea of red in the crowd here in Los Angeles. And I know the whole thing is whose house is it? When the Niners are there for the fans, it's their,
house.
And the Rams fans are I mean, there's a the Rams went silent snap count in their own house. So they're battling an 0-2 start. They're battling a dreadful week 2 loss. They're battling the injury bug where the left side of the offensive line is totally revamped. And their two best receivers, two of the best, maybe the best wide receiver combination in the NFL, can make an argument, Kupp and Nacua, or that they're out. And Stafford down 10 leads it. When he's slinging it, different arm angles, different. He's getting hit too all the time. Kind of feel like he's being scraped up off the ground every time. Kyren Williams with 3 touchdowns doing his thing. He was very prideful here when we told him what his fantasy ranking was. He just hardly comes off the field too. Yeah,
touchdown machine.
Good Lord, was that a fun football game? Must have been insane to be there too.
Insane to be there. Energy was crazy. And like you said, the sea of red. Three quarters, Niner fans, it was absolutely packed with red and gold.
And Kyren Williams flipping into the end zone.
Oh, that was wild.
And just everybody needs to seek it because he wasn't contacted, I don't believe.
No, he
did it to avoid the contact. He flipped over the defender that went for his ankles at the goal line. He flipped over them.
Also, that was a pass play in which he beat Fred Warner in the slot.
Dude's really
get to the end zone.
Talented. And Fred Warner is
awesome.
The best of the best.
Yeah.
And, you know, the Niners themselves without Kittle. Without Debo, without McCaffrey.
Whole bunch of stars missing in this game.
Okay, so they were down 2. I do want to say this. Brock Purdy is an elite quarterback in this league, guys. You saw it in your front of you. I don't know why you can't buy it, man. Why can't
What does elite mean?
Elite is difficult to defend, difficult to beat, doesn't get down, doesn't make the mistakes on his own. He's not perfect. He's getting better and better.
He was really good yesterday. Wide receivers kind of let him down.
It was impossible.
Niners had the dropsies a little bit.
Get him on the ground.
Well, the Rams had little pass rush.
Dude.
Yesterday.
All right. You were there, so you saw it. He was running for his life half the time. He was booting out. He was making throws on the run. Juwan Jennings was just superlative. He was incredible. He was
wide open on all the touchdowns.
But the times where the Rams defensively couldn't catch their breath because he just is relentless. Brock Purdy is relentless. And he's supposed to be the quarterback who's the sum of all the other parts. The parts were not there yesterday. And Ayuk is not even A-plus yet. I mean, Ayuk was kind of a non-factor yesterday.
Didn't even know he was on the field.
Okay, yeah. Ricky Pearsall, the receiver they got from in the first round, he's not there. And he, you know, damn near with Jordan Mason beat the Rams in their house.
Yeah, Jordan Mason had
a
good game.
I was so impressed with Purdy. And Steve Young told, you know, Susie and Amy on What the Football, he needs to run it more. Maybe have some more run. He was running his ass off. He's played incredible football yesterday. He is definitely not the reason they lost. The two Michigan men let him down. Jake Moody missed a field goal. Yeah. And Ricky Bell had a ball in his hands. He looked like a defender, like he fought it off.
Yeah.
You know, if he caught that, that would have been all she wrote. The Rams would never have had that comeback. It was on the final final drive of the game that the Niners had to punt it back, and then the Rams got an incredible punt return from a kid who hadn't had a touch in the NFL yet. And he runs it back to the plus side of the field. Stafford does the rest. Come on, man. What a game. Save the Rams season. They're going into Chicago next. I have no idea what's going to come out of that game. Zero.
Right.
And then Jordan Love, we're assuming, will be back in week four for Green Bay against Minnesota. They'll be here in week five. Then they got a bye. My goodness, if there's any team that needs a bye more than the Rams, I'd like to see it. Save the season in a way that nobody saw coming. And perfect encapsulation by Sean McVay when he went to the podium yesterday. Because I said the words, and I'm sure you said the words, and others around you said these words about this game.
It was over.
Hit it.
All right. Holy
That's it. That sums it up.
Yeah, that sums it
holy
up.
Holy yes. I mean, yeah, holy
that's
F.
Good.
I mean,
good. Was, that's good.
That's it.
Holy S, GD. Yeah, that's
come on.
It.
I mean,
yeah, this, pretty much it.
That sums it up. And the Niners are 1-2. I'm not concerned about them. Everybody, you want to jump on the Niners suck or the coach doesn't win big games? You want to jump on that bandwagon? Okay. New England next. Arizona at home. They do have a short game at Seattle. That's pretty important. Kansas City and Dallas after that. Let's see what, you know, McCaffrey comes back, Debo comes back, Kittle comes back. We'll see. Okay. It's a heck of a stretch. They can get right the next two games at home with all due respect to Arizona, obviously. But I'm not worried. I'm not worried.
Not that, worried at all?
Nope.
At all.
0.0 concern about the San Francisco 49ers.
You're not concerned it just could be one of those weird years where guys are hurt the whole season?
Well, I mean, if they're hurt the whole season, then obviously I'm concerned. I'm just assuming they IR'd McCaffrey for a reason. He'll come back. Pearsall will come back and add a nice little thing. By the way, I'd suggest maybe we hop on that in our fantasy league.
Well, you just let everybody know.
I don't care. Because we'll still beat them. We're making business decisions ourselves, you know?
Understandable.
Pearsall's coming back. Debo will come back. Kittle. Like, these aren't, you know, broken bones that are going to keep him out for the entire year.
No, it's kind of worse,
I got
actually.
It. I'm not concerned
calves
for
calves and Achilles.
I got it. I'm not worried. Not worried. Hmm. It's 1-2. This thing can turn around in a hurry. Remember last year? They lost to Minnesota, which is, I guess, their annual ritual. And then everyone's wondering, oh, how bad are they? Remember they came off the bye and went to Jacksonville and were like, uh-oh, here they go. And then they pounded them and made the Super Bowl. I'm not worried.
Let's say two teams from the West make it. Which two?
Oh, God. I mean, you got to go with Seattle right now because they're two up on everybody.
Right.
And then I'll go Niners. Because we'll see what happens. I mean, this was great for they had to have this. The Rams had to have it.
Yeah.
But there's a rabbit and there's a hat. I don't know if they can keep pulling it out until. But let's see, would Cup and Nacua come back? Make it around 500 at that point?
Maybe. It's fun.
They've got just guts and a mox. They got a quarterback.
Guts and moxie, yeah.
Do they ever?
And it was basically a road game.
Do they ever?
Yesterday.
Oh, my God. It's kind of crazy.
Yeah.
Take a break. Your phone call is 844-204-RICH. Number to dial here on the program. Are you struggling to close deals? Business-to-business selling is tougher than ever, and that's why I want to tell you about LinkedIn Sales Navigator. LinkedIn Sales Navigator is a sales intelligence platform that helps professionals effectively prospect and engage high-value customers, drive higher revenue, and increase sales performance. Sales Navigator helps you target the right buyers, surface key signals such as job changes or which accounts you should prioritize, and shows you hidden allies so you could find those buyers that are most likely to convert. Fueled by LinkedIn's 1 billion member platform, Sales Navigator gives you the most up-to-date first-party data, enabling you to unlock conversations with the people that matter. Right now, you can try LinkedIn Sales Navigator and get a 60-day free trial at linkedin.com/direct. That is linkedin.com/direct for a 60-day free trial. Let LinkedIn Sales Navigator help you sell like a superstar today. Just go to linkedin.com/direct and get started. Let's talk LinkedIn people and small business owning. I'm a small business owner. Yeah, I might host the Rich Eisen Show, but I run it too. Rich Eisen Productions is a small business. And when you're hiring for small business, you want to find quality professionals that are right for the role. And that's why you've got to check out LinkedIn Jobs. LinkedIn Jobs has the tools to help find the right professionals for your team faster and for free. It's not just a job board, this LinkedIn. LinkedIn helps you hire professionals you can't find anywhere else, even those who aren't actively searching for a new job, but might be open to the perfect role. In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't visit other leading job sites. So if you're not looking on LinkedIn, you're looking in the wrong place. LinkedIn knows that small businesses are wearing so many hats and might not have the time or resources to hire. That's why you got to use them. Post your job for free at linkedin.com/Eisen. That's linkedin.com/Eisen to post your job for free. Terms and conditions apply. Hey, everybody. You know we're living in a new age of football with the expanded college football playoff, NIL, conference realignment, and increasing popularity of the draft. The landscape is changing, and it's changing quickly, and it can be confusing, but you know you're still into it. That's where the new podcast, The Triple Option, comes in. Each week, Heisman Trophy winner Mark Ingram, host Rob Stone, and three-time national champion coach Urban Meyer team up to bring on the biggest guests in college football, pro football, and anything related to the culture of the game. They cover it all, from top stories to recent changes and shifts in the game, the culture surrounding it, and everything in between. So get in the game today. Follow and subscribe to The Triple Option on Apple, Spotify, or wherever you get your podcasts. Watch The Triple Option on YouTube as well. New episodes drop Wednesday mornings. All right. I love these victory videos inside locker rooms. This was inside the victorious Rams locker room. Hit it.
I'll tell you what. So fight in this game. Couple guys that come to mind immediately. Where's a couple balls right here, Kev? All right, hey, how about Xavier Smith? Yeah! How about this guy just producing TD day in, day out, Kyron Williams? Yeah! Defensively as a whole, for you guys to stand up like you did. Unbelievable, man. Give it up for the defense, man. Yeah! I got two more that come to mind.
Here you go.
All right, hey, where's Tutu Atwell? Yeah! Hey, last one. Hey, this guy, play in, play out, sat in the pocket, made four.
How about Stafford giving his game ball to the kid from Stanford, the kicker?
Business decision. He doesn't have any room at his house, probably, for those game balls. I've got
the missus was like,
he hands
no more.
Those game balls like Belichick used to hand out.
No more.
Trophies.
You take them.
Back here on the Rich Eisen Show Radio Network, sitting at the Rich Eisen Show desk, furnished by Grainger with supplies and solutions for every industry. Grainger has the right product for you. Call clickgrainger.com or just stop by. Our friend Derek in Missouri frequently is the first to call in. Good to see you again, Derek. What's going on, sir?
Not much, Rich. I'd be remiss if I didn't mention Shohei Ohtani before we get to the discussion of football. I don't know if you guys saw the video that went viral from when he hit the 50th home run and Matt scrambled for that baseball that lucky fan got, but it looked like Black Friday at Walmart pretty much from that video, if you guys got a chance to see it.
Right. Yeah, so what else you got on your mind, Derek?
So, Rich, I'm celebrating Victory Monday myself. What I saw from Tampa yesterday, Bo Nix coming right off the pretty much right off the shotgun and pretty much doing everything he could to just the pinch though and poise yesterday from the opening drive to the very end. And getting that win yesterday was positive. Gives me more momentum, I think, for the Broncos going against the Jets next Sunday. And I did pick the Broncos to beat the Bucks in the win-loss game, if I might add. And I'll be remiss on the Cowboys here, Rich. I'll say this. If there's one thing that defines this team right now, it's karma. And that piece of karma hit them yesterday in the mouth, pretty much, with Derrick Henry. I'm going to make this bold prediction right now, Rich. And I'll say this. Like what we saw in 2010, I think if the Cowboys cannot get anything going, if they are on a losing streak, hear this. Mike McCarthy will get fired midseason, and the Cowboys did not make the playoffs.
All right, Derek, I appreciate the bold prediction right there. Let me just say that. And thanks for the call, Derek.
Won't happen for Cowles and
that's
Alex.
It's just not happening. Jerry Jones, I was there on a Saturday night in New Orleans when the Cowboys weren't playing well at all underneath Wade Phillips. And they were in New Orleans taking on Sean Payton and Drew Brees at the height of their greatness. And Jerry Jones turned to all of us on the air and he goes, I'm nervous as a cat because there's a lot riding on this thing. And what he meant was he would have to consider firing his coach at the end of the season. The end of the season. He's not firing a guy in the middle of the season. I mean, everyone thinks he's so impetuous. It's clear that he's actually stays put more than anything else. Look at the whole all-in stuff.
Oh, yeah. Well, just how
kind
long
of obstinate about that.
Jason Garrett,
Wade Phillips, he refused to fire those guys.
Well, he fired Wade in the middle of the season
because
it was just apparent he had to do it.
Yeah.
So and different, he waited a little even long.
And he waited.
That's one thing he's not doing. I agree with you. That's one thing that's not going to happen. That said, I mean, you know, another example of a team getting his first win that nobody saw coming. Although, again, when he took shots in Seattle in week one, shot after shot after shot, and got up and kept on playing, and I always used to be in the check down king and everything. I don't know. I just took to Twitter, and I'm like, there's something about Bo Nix I like. There's a lot to like about him. And out of nowhere, he beats the Buccaneers on the road, Baker Mayfield, and the Bucs were riding high. I heard that Nick saying, if we just beat the Buccaneers, we can use this as a starting point. You know, maybe go beat the Jets the next week and get back to 500. Just saying that out loud, I heard did not sit well in Tampa. And they were, you know, kind of ready to stick it to the rookie. And Sean Payton and Bo Nix hit him in the mouth to start and kept hitting him and then knocked him out. I mean, Denver's defense, 7 sacks. Bo Nix, 25 of 36. I know he didn't throw a touchdown pass, but he didn't make a mistake, did he?
He ran for one.
9 of 47 on the ground. When I heard Sean Payton saying, well, we're going to run the ball to try and take some pressure off him, I'm like, good luck. Now, I know Vita Vea wasn't there, but I was like, good luck. Where's he coming from? 28 rushes, 136 yards. You know, so collective effort. And kudos to the Broncos, man. The first road win for a rookie quarterback belongs to Bo Nix. And this is what he had to say after the game.
Oh, it was great. Before the game, we wanted to, you know, hear the music and have a party. So, we played motivated today. We went out there and executed at a high level. And then, you know, I think that's what it's supposed to feel like. You get back in the locker room and everybody's really excited. You put so much into the week. You put so much effort, time, energy, and, you know, those are what those moments are about. You know, it's just kind of, that's what you want to get to. You want to get to those post-game, celebrations.
and the beat up moments from the first 2 weeks leads to him being able to have the fortitude to go on the road and do this. That's why I'm like, guy's got 61 starts in college. He took the hits and kept on hitting. And just when you thought the Broncos were going to start 0-3 again under Sean Payton, nuh-uh. Now next up, the Jets. Hey, Jets, don't look past this team. You know, don't look past them. 7 sacks, they're going to come for Aaron Rodgers next. And then they're home for Vegas and the Chargers before the big one, which is Sean Payton's return to New Orleans. That's fun. I mean, I know it wasn't fun for the Bucks, but that's totally unexpected. Totally unexpected.
Totally. And also ruined a lot of survivor pools.
Probably so. I don't know who the hell survived in the first 3 weeks.
If you're still alive in the first 3 weeks, you are a genius.
And untouched, right? Untouched.
3-0. Right? No, go play the lottery.
Let's go to... Let's see where we're going to go to next. Let's go to Chris in Miami, Florida. What's up, Chris?
Hey, Rich. You know, I really want to talk about just the distraught feeling that everybody in Miami is feeling after this past weekend, seeing that atrocity on the Seattle field.
You got any more you want to put on that bone, Chris?
Yeah, so, you know, Mike, I think, and I say Mike as Coach McDaniels here, yeah, is just hasn't really called a great game since last season, dating back to that Jets game where we hung 30 on them. So everything after, we've only scored 20 points within 7 games. Those two 20-point games, one against Dallas, I don't think anything of that game. That was a Christmas present to me last year. Don't think anything of that game anymore. And this year against the Jaguars, which I don't think has any momentum to it either. Now, with that being said, we see Skylar Thompson come in, and the play calling by McDaniels just shows that no one can just run this offense. It is Tua's offense, but Tua is no longer a viable option. And what do you think the Dolphins should be doing to look ahead for their future?
Well, here's the thing is you saw Tua there yesterday, and clearly this indicates to me he intends to play again this season once he's done with his injured reserve. And thanks for the call, Chris. That's what it indicates to me. It indicates to me if he's cleared to actually hop on a flight for 6+ hours and is going to be there and is there, it's not just because he wants to be a great teammate, you know, it's because he's able to do it. Right? Of course he wants to go if he can do it. He's cleared to actually take a 6-hour flight after all that. Okay. So problem is, you know, you gotta wait 4 games till he gets back, and then you're assuming, you're hoping. I do hope he wears one of those caps if he comes back.
Yes, I think so.
Like, go ahead and play football with it. Who cares?
You've seen other players around the league wearing them. It looks fine.
I don't care. What are you worried about the way it looks?
Big deal.
Give me exactly.
I'm not even really paying attention to him either. Pictures after the game, I was like, oh, yeah.
Yeah, he's got that thing on.
It blends in.
Who cares?
Yeah.
I hope he wears it. They got a home date against Tennessee. By the way, this is a revenge game for Miami as far as I'm concerned. Them slipping up in this game led to them, in part, playing in sub-zero weather in the playoffs.
Yeah. No doubt.
Okay. And they blew that one. That was the one that Will Levis suddenly...
Dude, they were up 14 with like 4 minutes to go and lost.
Right. And then they're at New England before a bye, at Indianapolis after that. And I believe that's when they can get Tua back. He's got to miss 4.
I thought it was just 4 weeks, not 4 games.
Well, if it's 4 weeks, then they get him back.
Yeah, after the bye week, right?
Right.
Yeah.
And you know, unfortunately, though, Miami is the first team to get down to their third string quarterback this year. Unless you call Heinicke that. In Los Angeles, he played in place of the injured Justin Herbert when he limped out of the game in Pittsburgh yesterday.
X-rays negative.
Correct.
On Herbert today.
But I mean, Tim Boyle out there, and trust me, as an observer of the Jets, I found it somewhat ironic that the third string quarterback for the Dolphins is the one who threw the fail Mary to them last year. Yeah, so that's the Black Friday moment.
Yep.
I mean, you know, obviously you got to be concerned for Miami's season, but it's still early. I would counsel them to root for the team that they beat in week one tonight, not to get too far away from the Bills any further than that. But the Dolphins are the only team, I believe, in the National Football League to not hold a lead with any time on the clock this year through three games, right?
Correct.
That they're the one game that they won where we're triple zeros at the end of the regulation.
The first time in week one against Jacksonville at the buzzer.
They're the only team to not snap a ball with the lead this year.
Crazy.
You know, no Raheem Mostert, no Tua, no shot in Seattle the way they're playing defense right now. So 844-204-RICH, number to dial right here on the program. When we come back, you want to talk a little college?
Sure.
Let's do that. Because
I know you want to talk college.
I don't know. I mean, we were almost in the same pit of misery.
I could skip it.
844-204-RICH, number to dial. Andrew Whitworth coming up in hour number three as well. Don't go anywhere. This is the Rich Eisen Show on a busy football Monday. Say goodbye to complicated, expensive, and uncertain shipping, and say hello to an advantage with USPS Ground Advantage shipping from the United States Postal Service. Every business faces challenges, but shipping shouldn't be one of them. So keep things simple with clear upfront pricing and no unexpected surcharges for Saturday deliveries, residential deliveries, or fuel. Keep things affordable with some of the lowest prices out there, helping you counter the rising costs of doing business with a budget-friendly alternative. And keep things reliable with on-time ground shipping, ensuring your shipments get to where they need to go while maintaining your hard-earned reputation. USPS Ground Advantage is your ticket to easy, cost-effective, and dependable shipping. It's the complete delivery service your business needs to rise above the competition. There's never been a better time to turn shipping to your advantage. Learn how at usps.com/advantage. USPS Ground Advantage. Simple, affordable, reliable. Let's talk DoorDash people. If your family's like mine, it probably is. You want something to eat, your kids want something else to eat. How do you handle it all? How do you make sure everybody's happy? DoorDash. That's how you make sure everybody's happy. The food delivery app is the most awesome on-demand delivery platform that you can go get to make sure that food comes to the places you like right to your table. It's awesome, especially now that football's finally back, which means it's time to order your favorite game day food, snacks, and drinks on DoorDash without missing a single play. And here's how I can help you. Use my promo code, RICHEISEN24, for 50% off up to a $10 value when you spend $15 or more dollars on your first order. Limited time offer, terms apply. Promo's not valid for orders containing alcohol. DoorDash, your door to game day greatness, your door to more. Download the DoorDash app now to order your game day favorites and use my promo code RICHEISEN24. Must be 21 or older to order alcohol. Drink responsibly. Alcohol available only in select markets.
What is it like where you're back there? You know you're going to get it.
Yeah.
The 8 in the box or 9 in the box that you see knows you're going to get it.
Yeah.
And you know you're going to give it to them.
Yeah.
And they know you're going to give it to them. What is that like for you?
I just love the game. I love having the ball in my hands and I love making plays. And I don't know. It's just the game, man. Like that feeling. When everybody knows and they can't stop it, it's an indescribable feeling, man. And that's just speaking for like us as a team. And you know, I just love the game.
Yeah, I know you're smiling. You're just smiling as you're saying this. It is just, it must be an amazing feeling.
It's a lot of fun.
To have that ability. Derrick Henry here on the Rich Eisen Show. Did you hear what Earl Thomas said before the divisional playoff game in Baltimore, saying that the Patriots didn't want to tackle you, but they were going to have a different
approach? I seen it everywhere. Everybody was sending it to me. Everybody was showing it to me. Yeah, I seen it everywhere.
Okay, so now, later on, you're in Baltimore. You get the ball. You're on the edge. Did you know that was Earl Thomas that was coming for you?
Definitely knew that was Earl Thomas.
Did you give him a second shove because it was Earl Thomas?
Yes.
I was wondering. Because you gave him one in the front, and you gave him one slightly unnecessary one
in the back.
But what's so funny about that is I was so focused on giving him another shove that I ran myself out of bounds. So when I just remember the first time, he kind of turned around.
Yeah.
And I could have turned up Phil, but I was so focused on this, like, giving him a shove that I ran myself out of bounds. But yeah, I definitely did that because of that.
So then the last question is, was it worth it to run yourself out of bounds?
I think it was, yeah.
Love that guy. TJ saw too much of him yesterday. Hey, back on the Rich Eisen Show.
We planked around and found out. You know?
Yes, you did. Your chart. You got your chart, right? You got your chart right there?
Okay. See, when you F around, you find out.
You find out right there. That's your chart.
Simple.
Very good. Google's what brings you your YouTube TV and their Sunday Ticket together.
Yeah, man.
NFL Sunday Ticket and YouTube TV, it's a classic combination. As soon as you bundle it together, you get as many live NFL games as you possibly can. And the best part about it, too, is the new feature. It's not so new for us anymore. I used it all last year, and maybe it's new for a lot of folks. The multi-view feature. What's new this year is you can create your own games.
Mm, much better.
Right. So yesterday I had, for the five late games, I had your Cowboys on one of the multi-view features, and then Rams were on another, Rams Niners. And
the Cardinals game?
I had that. The one that I had on the side was Panthers Raiders because it wasn't a game. It's crazy, man. It's just so great. So sign up today at youtube.com/NFLST. Device and content restrictions apply. Local and national games on YouTube TV. NFL Sunday Ticket for out-of-market games excludes digital-only games. Go get it. You won't be regretting it. Okay. Let's talk college football. I'll be very honest with you. All week long, I had a feeling that I wasn't going to want to walk around here in Los Angeles and see all those fight-on people in my lives. It's too many of you USC Trojan fans out here. I guess that's what happens when you live in Los Angeles.
Yeah, kind of comes with it.
And man, USC is the team that beat Bo Schembechler in his final game. Got a break when Bo, in his final throws of being a head coach in Michigan football, decided a fake punt in a Rose Bowl. I want to talk about a tendency breaker. Fake punted, worked to perfection, a stupid ass holding penalty that to this day I don't believe it was a penalty at all. And then Bo got 15 more on top of it because he got so angry, threw his headset, nearly fell down, nearly went ass over tea kettle against USC. When you stroll around Chrysler Arena, I don't know if they have an air anymore. This is where Michigan plays basketball, where I graduated. There is when I first got there, I believe it's still there, there's a huge picture of Charles White in a Rose Bowl for USC scoring.
Ooh.
Touchdown. It's called the Phantom Touchdown in Michigan lore because the ball was already out as he crossed the plane. Touchdown. There's no replay.
Like one of those Deshaun Jackson things?
Let me tell you something. No. He's diving into the end zone, and the ball is clearly out. It's dropping down to the ground. And he then scored the touchdown. And if you couldn't see it, you couldn't see the football in the huge blown up photograph.
Mm-hmm.
They had back in the day a huge, what looked like a wire coat hanger that would be attached to the bottom of the display with a little circle that circled the ball as it was dropping down to the ground. Did not have possession. That's how Michigan lost to USC there. I once upon a time watched John David Booty beat Michigan of USC. The year that, however, I was complaining about Bo losing in his final game to USC in the Rose Bowl, I understand that I was complaining about the end of the game, got to play better than the refs, ref. And one of the reasons why Michigan did not play better on offense is there was a guy on USC wearing their vaunted 55. You know, they give 55 to their best defensive players.
Yep.
I honestly, he was everywhere on the field. I honestly thought there was two of them. His name was Junior Seau.
He's a bad man.
Indeed. He was everywhere. Like the greatest sideline to sideline linebacking play I've ever seen in person was Junior Seau on that day from the press box at the Rose Bowl when I was covering it for the student publication called the Michigan Daily. At any rate, I just thought to myself, of all the years, we couldn't play USC in Michigan last year, you know?
Yeah.
Of all the years.
I'm looking at that picture right now.
I am too.
And how was and your, thoughts, like, your thoughts? Your thoughts? Your thoughts?
I mean, the ball's almost on the ground.
I would say that's
ground.
A fumble.
That's a fumble.
Charles White's in the air.
Not called a fumble.
He's in the air. The ball is like 3 feet below him.
You think? You think, huh?
Yeah.
Okay, so that's the history. I'm trying to give you a little backstory here.
I can understand that would draw some eye.
And in comes Lincoln Riley and a USC team that's already beaten LSU and Michigan road grades him in the first half. And then in the third quarter, Lincoln Riley made all the adjustments. Michigan stopped. What's the word for it? Moving the football, didn't get a first down, didn't do anything.
It's single-digit yards for most of that.
Dude, they went from the end of the second quarter to the middle of the fourth quarter without a first down, and then Khalil Mullings, number 20 on Michigan.
Went beast mode.
Well, he saved the day in the same way Saquon did for the Eagles yesterday. Just when they needed to now go the length of the field to score a touchdown to win because they had a missed extra point blocked by 10 men on the USC side. Where like, how are you going to go the length of the field when all you're doing is able to run the football? You can't pass it because, you know, Alex Orji, the new starter for Michigan, I think has trouble seeing the field. And we could go deeper into the roster in terms of how many people that you're in the same way that the Cowboys are wondering who you concerned about to beat you. I'm waiting to see receivers step to the fore into that fray. But
he almost had a house call.
But Mullings 100% saved the day, flipped the field. Michigan scored a touchdown on a fourth down play, and it was tipping. You want to talk about bow football. They put Orji under center with a fullback and ran an off tackle. Yeah. Like just like we're coming for you, like downhill.
Yeah.
And then Michigan defense did the rest. I don't know how the hell they won that game. I don't know what happened. But that was Michigan versus USC. The rest of it, for the rest of the weekend, I don't know how when you're talking 1 month into the season for college football, I understand it's a quarterback-driven sport. How do you not say Travis Hunter is your Heisman Trophy winner right now? I'd be difficult to point out. I understand Colorado's not, you know, your national championship threatening team, but how do you not look at this kid on defense, on offense?
Hey, he's special.
And
man,
what he did to Baylor. And I know Shador is the one who, you know, played the Cordell Stewart role against Baylor.
Chris, if you remember last year, Colorado's first game, four plays in, I text you and I said, Travis Hunter, Heisman. Four plays. That's all it took.
Well,
and
he plays every play.
He plays every play.
That's crazy.
He plays on both sides.
Yeah.
And he is the best player on the football field.
Really good.
How is he not the best player on the football field every time he steps on it?
I didn't realize that it was him who created that fumble at the end of the game until the next day.
Yeah. He did.
I just got so caught up in it, I didn't even bother to concentrate.
110 yards receiving, and he makes plays all over the place. And he's somebody that I bet you, again, I'm not, you know, I know the coach and, you know, some on the staff. I bet you they would, his teammates would follow that kid into the fires of, you know, heck, since Deion doesn't curse. Come on now.
And you don't see much about Travis. Oh, apparently he's a kid who likes to play video games, hang out with his girl.
I'll tell you what, man.
Kind of just does his thing, and he's excellent at football.
You will hear his name in the first hour of the NFL draft next April.
Oh, absolutely.
Less than that.
You think so? First half hour?
Top.
Well, ten minutes a pick.
Half hour only really gets you up to...
Half hour. Ty's a top three pick.
Yeah, half hour only gets you up to...
How do you not want that? And how do you not...
Well, you let him play both sides?
Yeah, that's
what I mean. Like, does he have to pick a position?
Why would you do that?
I don't think you'd want to limit him.
It's like Ohtani.
Yeah, I don't think you'd want to limit him.
My question is, how many other Travis Hunters are there out there?
Great question.
There's got to be some other kids who just aren't getting...
Well, he was the number one player.
Don't get it twisted.
Deion took him from Florida State.
And Deion flipped him.
Yeah. Right.
Right. And then he followed him to Colorado. So
there may be others.
But nothing like this kid. Like,
but as good on both sides like that?
He's
listen, I know a lot of people, you know, want to hate on Colorado and they see, you know, the Sanders is all, you know, in commercials and you're waiting to see, you know, if their omnipresent nature on your television set matches the wins and losses. right? A lot of folks are saying that, but you've got to give it up. I mean, that throw by Shador.
Shador is something else, man. Okay. Like, you can hate on that kid if you want.
He's number one, but Travis Hunter, we should already, you got to send him a plane ticket from New York at the very least, right?
Oh, he's definitely in the building.
Oh, a mock draft I'm looking at right now has him third.
Okay. Yeah. But, I mean, you're sending a plane ticket for the first Saturday in December, or second Saturday in December.
For going to New York. Heisman,
oh, hell yeah.
Yeah, yeah.
I mean,
it would be.
It's going to have to take some serious quarterback play to beat him out with what he's doing. Like, that, you know.
It's going
to
be Travis Hunter. It's going to be my boy Arch. And then now the third person.
Okay. Well, the kid from Miami, right?
I mean, yeah, Cam Ward's there. So Cam Ward's the favorite right now. Okay. Jackson Dart, the Ole Miss quarterback.
Sure.
Jalen Milroe has been really awesome. Alabama was off last week. You know, Travis Hunter is not in the top. He's like seventh.
And Michigan's and number 20 from Michigan.
I mean, he was on Saturday.
Fight on, baby. Fight on. Oh, God. There's a couple guys at poker, too, I didn't want to see. They're like, you want to watch the game together, Rich? And I'm like, no.
Not a chance of that happening.
No, it's just me. It's just Coop.
You and Coop.
Me. Suze.
I know you were losing it.
Well,
I thought about texting you like
you texted me.
I did the eyes after it was 4-2.
But I was kind of. But I apologize. I said sorry to you because I saw the way your game ended.
Thank you for that. That was rough.
Come on,
that
man.
Was rough on Friday.
I was watching a human being.
No, I'm saying going crazy in the sense that must have been so much fun for you.
No, the third quarter was not, and the fourth quarter was not, and I'm like sitting here, you know, Will Johnson got hurt. You know, Michigan was making mistakes that I haven't seen in a long time. And I'm like,
quarterback play is a kind of a big question mark. Yeah.
You know, I don't know how sustainable that is.
Yeah.
And to hear Bruce Feldman say that your offense looks like Iowa's, that cuts deep.
Not a compliment.
That cuts deep, sir.
Not a compliment.
But they came up with the win, man. Smashed. They friggin' smashed it.
Yeah.
And they got Minnesota next. God bless it. Big noon. Fox's big noon. Minnesota at Michigan. You can't quit us. Can't quit us. Can't get enough of Urban, man.
That's how I feel about Tom Brady. Is he working specifically for the Cowboys? Or?
Was it just the Fox
games? My kids asked that. Yeah, they're like, why does Tom Brady get all the Cowboys games, Dad?
I'm okay with it, but not the way I envision him being employed by us. But,
you employing him. Got it. Noted. Andrew Whitworth coming up. Hey, it's Rich Eisen here. Join me and my compadre, Chris Brockman, every Monday on the Overreaction Monday podcast.
A 2023 last place team will win a playoff game this year.
I'm taking the Cincinnati Bengals to be that team. If you gave me
safe bet.
If you said two last place teams, I might say that's an overreaction. Come react or overreact with us. This one makes it much easier. Very so cool. Thank you for making it easier.
Well, tune in next week.
Overreaction Monday, wherever you listen.